You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
Our reading for today is from the book of Matthew 18, verses 15 to 35. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where there two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of the pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him gave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, Pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart.
Si tu hermano peca contra ti, ve a solas con él y hazle ver su falta. Y si te hace caso, has ganado a tu hermano. Pero si no, lleva contigo a uno o dos más, para que todo asunto se revuelva mediante el testimonio de dos o tres testigos. Si se niega a hacerles caso a ellos, díselo a la iglesia. Y si incluso a la iglesia no le hace caso, trátalo como si fuera un incrédulo o un renegado. Les aseguro que todo lo que ustedes aten en la tierra quedará atado en el cielo, y todo lo que desaten en la tierra quedará desatado en el cielo. Además, les digo que si dos de ustedes en la tierra se ponen de acuerdo sobre cualquier cosa que pidan, les será concedida por mi Padre que está en el cielo. Porque donde dos o tres se reúnen en mi nombre, allí estoy yo en medio de ellos. Pedro se acercó a Jesús y le preguntó, Señor, ¿cuántas veces tengo que perdonar mi hermano que peca contra mí? ¿Hasta siete veces? No, te digo que hasta siete veces, sino hasta 77 veces, le contestó Jesús. Por eso el reino de los cielos se parece a un rey que quiso ajustar cuentas con sus siervos. Al comenzar a hacerlo, se le presentó uno que le debía miles y miles de monedas de oro. Como él no tenía que, con qué pagar, el Señor mandó que lo vendieran a él y su esposa y a sus hijos y todo lo que tenían, para así saldar la deuda. El siervo se postró delante de él. «Tenga paciencia conmigo», le rogó, «y se lo pagaré todo». El Señor se compadeció de su siervo, le perdonó la deuda y lo dejó en libertad. Al salir, aquel siervo se encontró con uno de sus compañeros que le debía 100 monedas de plata, lo apagaró por el cuello y comenzó a estrangularlo. «Págame lo que me debes», le exigió. Su compañero se postró delante de él. «Ten paciencia conmigo», le rogó, «y te lo pagaré». Pero él se negó. Más bien fuera, lo hizo meter en la cárcel hasta que pagara la deuda. Cuando los demás siervos vieron lo ocurrido, se entristecieron mucho y fueron a contarle a su señor todo lo que había sucedido. Entonces el señor mandó llamar al siervo. «Siervo malvado», le increpó, «te perdoné toda aquella deuda porque me lo suplicaste. ¿No debías tú también haberte compadecido de tu compañero, así como yo me compadecí de ti?» Y enojado, su señor lo entregó a los carceleros para que lo torturaran hasta que pagara todo lo que debía. Así también mi Padre Celestial lo tratará a ustedes, a menos que cada una perdone de corazón a su hermano. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given to us. Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would get into our business, that you would speak to our minds. And Lord, that it won't be a message that we simply hear and walk away from, but that we would allow it to change us, that we would find ourselves closer to you, that we would be obedient. Lord, I pray that you would move me aside, Lord, and let me speak what you would have to come forward. Lord, not by my power or abilities, but Father, all from you, all through you. And Lord, we'll be mindful to give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when we think about the text that was just read, I won't reread all of it, but there's some really important things here from such a large portion of text that I think that we would be wise to hear from. And so briefly, let's just look at the first part of this, verse 15 and 16, where it says, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidences of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen to even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and tax collector." I don't want to spend a lot of time on this part of the text. Three quick things from this text that I think would be wise for us to learn. Number one, it's super important that we are approachable. That we're approachable. Sometimes we get to this place in our minds where we just elevate ourselves and we're no longer approachable. Don't tell me when I've done wrong. Don't tell me my mistake. Who are you to speak into my life? And that's not healthy. And so I want to encourage us that we would be willing to be approachable. that yes, you make mistakes. I make mistakes. As a pastor, I'm the first one to say, I make lots of mistakes. So I need to be approachable and say, hey, guess what? I missed it on that one. Okay, does that make sense? Now, where I come from, we talk back to each other. This is a conversation that we're having together, okay? So it's okay to talk to me. Otherwise, I'm going to be like, they're sleeping. They're thinking about what's next. So we're in a conversation together because guess what? Even as a pastor, the word goes to me as well. Amen? I'm not above the word of God. All right, so the first thing we want to bother to listen. We want to bother to be approachable. The second thing that we want to do with this part of the text is we want to be willing to talk to someone when we see their sin. Okay? So many times what we do, especially in the church, unfortunately, is that somebody's messing up and we tell everyone else about their mistakes instead of going to them and saying, hey, you know what, you listen, this doesn't seem like this is the way that God would have us to live. So we want to bother to go to the person and not to social media. We want to go to the person and not to everyone else in the church. And when we do this, we're actually following the word of God and we're creating a healthy environment that's allowing us to be real and authentic with one another. And then the third thing that we want to do is we really want to be able to get to this point where we actually do talk about mistakes, where we talk about sin, right? Because if we are going to get closer to God, we have to be willing to look at sin. We have to be willing, and not just the hot topic sins of the current media trends, all right? Not just that. We're real good at following what the media is talking about right now, but we want to be able to talk about sin as sin. Hey, you know what? Listen, I'm watching and looking, and I'm seeing there might be a sense of pride going on inside of you. Wouldn't that be sin? And so we want to call that out. Hey, I'm looking at you, and I'm seeing that there's some disrespect that I'm seeing that you offer to one of your brothers, to one of your sisters. We want to be able to talk about sin. Because when we're willing to talk about it, we're willing to be reformed. We're willing to be changed. And, you know, today we celebrate Reformation Sunday and we think about, you know, Martin Luther, what did he do? You might not have to know all the history, but here's a brother who said, hey, there's some stuff going wrong inside of the church. And he wrote out 95 things that he was like, this is wrong, that's wrong, that ain't good, this isn't good. And he nailed it to the door, right? And so we want to understand that when something's wrong, we talk about it in a healthy way because this is what would be pleasing to the Lord. Are you with me so far? So, are you approachable? Don't be lying in the church now. Are you approachable? Do you give everyone in this room permission to come to you when you have sinned? Do you give everyone permission to come to you and say, hey, they got to come to you in love? I agree. Do you give them permission to hold you accountable to your sin life? Oh, it got real quiet. We're going to stay right here for a minute, Pastor. Do you give permission to everyone in this room to help hold you accountable in your sin life? Now, I heard some people being honest, like, nope, don't talk to me about my sin. I encourage you to get to that place. Now, furthermore, then I encourage you guys to do that in love. You don't beat people up. You don't tell them how horrible they are. You do this in, what's that word? They say that honesty without love, I'm paraphrasing, honesty without love is actually brutality, all right? We don't want to do that. Both of them have to go together. And so, all right, we got to move on, all right, because that's not the main part of the text, but you guys were struggling on that one a little bit, so we had to spend a couple extra minutes there. We're going to be honest? All right. So we're going to go to the large section of the text, which really is from 21 through 35 here. And what I want to do with this is I kind of want to talk about three things that we're going to look at. When I read this text, and because we already read it, I'm not going to reread it. I see something that takes us back to Matthew 6:12. Matthew 6:12 says this. It's Jesus talking, and he says something in the middle of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Verse 14 says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, ooh, there's a conjunction here. You don't have to be an English scholar, but there's a conjunction. Let me read it to you again. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Comma, but if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. How many of you guys like conjunctions in the Bible? You know, where it tells you all of this, and then all of a sudden it says, comma, but, or comma, yet, or and. And so there is a conjunction. So in other words, everything that was here is null and void if this doesn't happen. How many of you guys like being forgiven by God? Anybody in here like, God, you can keep your forgiveness. I don't want none of that. No particulars. Okay, there is a conjunction here. But if you don't forgive others. See, we skipped this part. How many of you guys like forgiving others? And the hands were few. You see, we don't like to forgive others. We like to hold on to it. You did me wrong. The year was 1986. And I still remember. You took my parking spot. So let's deal with this for a moment. Because Jesus is about to teach something so powerful, so big. Because, you see, the disciple asked him, say, you know, listen, you're talking about this whole forgiveness thing, and I'm just trying to figure it out. You know, how often should I forgive somebody who sins against me? Like maybe, listen, I'm going to go a whole lot here. I'm going to say 7 times. Like, that's a lot right now. I should only have to do it like 3 or 4 according to the Jewish law. So 3 or 4. Now I'm going to up it up 7 times. And Jesus looked and he was just like, yeah, not that whole 7 times. How about 77? And Jesus, now if this was somebody else talking, then okay. But Jesus tells a story. And this is what we need to get today. He tells a story of a man who had a big debt. Now, let's look at the text here for a moment. The Bible says here that there was a man who went to settle his debts. This is verse 25. There's two different people. 25 is what I'm picking up. And since he could not pay his master, he ordered him to be sold. And that his wife and his children and all that he had and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me and I will pay you everything. Now, how much did this guy owe? That's the question. You see, when we look at the other portion of text, we understand that this guy's payment that he owed was a whole lot. Somebody say a lot. I love it. Oh, I like the little kids right here. Can I encourage something? Do you guys like having children in church? Are you sure? Maybe he's answering for you guys. If you like them in church, remind yourself a couple things. They're kids. Okay? They're kids. Kids are going to do kid things. And if you don't have kid programs for kids, then they're going to be kids in the midst of big people stuff. So either tell them they can't come, or be okay with kids being kids. Does that make sense? All right. So, kids, I'm going to need you guys in a minute, but not yet. But in a moment, I'm going to need your help, okay? So do me a favor. Just hang out, okay? All right. So when we look at the text, we begin to understand something important here. And this, what's important, is the amount of debt that this guy owed. You see, the text tells us that he owed such a sum of money that he owed 10,000 talents. How many of you guys know how much a talent is? Didn't think so. So let me help you out. One talent equaled 15 years worth of wages. So I want you to think about this for a moment. Think about how much money you make. Now think about how much that would equal for 15 years. Every penny of it for 15 years. Now I want you to give it away because you owe it. That's a lot, isn't it? So you take that. Now, the problem is that he didn't just owe one talent. He didn't just owe one talent. He didn't just owe 15 years worth of wages. The Bible says that he owed 10,000 talents. So let's be math magicians for a moment. You ready? You ready to do some math? I know, we're in church. Why do we have to do math? Here we go. Are you ready? One talent, 15 years. We're going to take 15 times 10,000. Quick math tells you how much is that? 150,000. 150,000 years worth of debt. I don't know what the brother bought. I don't know if he had a charge card back then. I just know he owes a lot. Can you imagine that much debt? Now, here's where the story gets interesting. You see, he owes this much, and then there's someone else who owes not that much. The other guy owes about 100 days worth. Okay? So you have one person that owes 100 days worth, and another guy that owes 150,000 years worth. Now, one day I decided to geek out a little bit and I did some math. And I determined if somebody could live to the ripe age of 94 years old. 94. If you could live to 94 years old, it would take you 1,582 lifetimes to pay off the debt that Jesus is talking about. I got a t-shirt. That's how much lifetimes, not years, lifetimes of living until 94 years old. So the question that I have for us all right now is real simple. How many of us think that you could work off your salvation? You can't pay for it. You can't earn it. You don't have enough life in you to be able to equal what Christ has done for you. You owe a lot to God. So do I. But now there's another person that only owes 100. Now the first person, God was like, hey, he showed that he had compassion. A whole lot was wiped clean. And then he goes out to the person that owes him 100, and he starts choking him, embarrass him in public. Pay me what you owe me. You owe me 100 days worth. He had just been forgiven 150,000 years worth. Are you following it? So, real fast, I want to go through three things that I would love for you guys to take for today. The first thing that I think Jesus is doing, he's giving us an invitation. An invitation to receive, to give, and to reflect. You see, Jesus wants us to be able to receive a conversation. How many of us know that talking about money can be difficult? Somebody owes you money, it's hard to go up to them and say, hey man, you know, listen, you know you owe me, right? It's hard. It's a hard conversation to have. But Jesus, he's letting us know that God is inviting us into a conversation with him. He's saying, let's talk. You can tell God about anything you want. You can tell God about all that you have done wrong. You can tell God about the mistakes that you have made today, yesterday, and a long time ago. We understand that Jesus doesn't want to be mad at us. He wants to forgive us. He wants to embrace us, tell us that he loves us. He invites us to receive forgiveness. When we sin, we also make ourselves in debt to God. When we sin, we indebt ourselves to others. 1 John 1:8-9 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, there's something here that's important. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Anybody in here free from sin? Anybody in here not sin against their brother or sister? Anybody in here have people that have sinned against them? See, I like when we go to church, I like to be honest in the church. I like to be real in the church. Because if we can't be real in the church, we're really setting ourselves up for failure. So let me ask that question again. Has anybody felt like someone has done them wrong? Have you done anybody wrong? Have you failed some people? Have you failed some people in this church? That means they're paying attention, just so you guys know. If we say we have no sin, we lie, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So then what we want to be able to do is we want to apologize for the wrong that we have done. You see, Jesus invites us to receive freedom. John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. He invites you to have a leg to stand on. Without God's forgiveness, you cannot stand before him. But what he does is when he invites us into this forgiveness, he says that we can stand before him pure and righteous in his righteousness. And that's what he invites us. He wants us about to stand before him. Isn't that a great feeling about to know that we can stand before God because of what he has done on our behalf? Anybody want to stand before God? Because you will one day. But don't you want to stand before him righteous? Good. I'm glad you guys do. You see, without God's forgiveness, you cannot stand before him because the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, he allows us into his presence. So he invites us to receive. He invites us, the second thing is he invites us to give. Now, this is the hard part for some of us, because what he invites us to give is he invites us to give by forgiving others. By giving the forgiveness that you have received, he invites you to give it to others. Inviting you to give the forgiveness that you have received to give to others. Now, this is the hard part. We like to receive his forgiveness, but we don't necessarily like to give his forgiveness. Mark 11:25 is a great reminder that our prayers can be blocked because of a lack of forgiveness. It says, and whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. This is huge. This is huge. The Bible says if you're standing before God, you're, oh Lord God, have mercy on me. You know what, God, I am so frustrated at that dude. You know how you get distracted in your prayers? And I can't believe they took my parking spot back in 1986. And man, I'm so mad at them. Ooh, they irk my nerve. If all of a sudden that starts coming to your mind, the Bible says, pause your prayer, go to that person, and forgive them. I don't want to. It's not fun to. You know what, God? No, I'm holding this one. When we hold on to it, we're robbing ourselves. Let me borrow the kids for a minute. All kids, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. You guys, come on up here. You guys are kids too? What are you doing sitting down still? Get on up here. Come on up here. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Okay, you can stay, you can stay. You don't have to come. All right. You almost judo chopped me. All right, come here. Not up there. Come up here. All right, I need you guys to stand right here for me. Everybody stand right here, right here. Because you guys are going to help the old people understand something. You come right here. All right. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. All right, you're right here. You're right here. All right, I need you guys to do me a favor. I want to see how well you guys can stand on one leg only. Don't hop around. Let's see if you can just stand on one leg. Show me. Now, this is what you guys look like. You look like this. You look like people who are standing before God on one leg, but you're a little off balance. You know why? It looks good to be able to stand, but God gave you two legs. The one leg is so that you can receive the forgiveness. The second leg is so that you can walk your forgiveness. Do me a favor. Can you guys hop now? One leg, hop. And this is what many Christians look like, because they are hopping in the forgiveness that they receive, but they're never walking in the power and the power and the power of God's forgiveness to others. All right, now do me a favor. I need you guys to do me a favor. All right? I need you guys to not hop this time, but I need you to walk and go give somebody, just one person, a high five. One person, go give them a high five. Yep, go ahead. Go give one person a high five. Did you give somebody? Did you give somebody? Did you? Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. How many of you guys got a high five? Let me ask you a question. For those of you guys that got a high five, how many of you felt good that you got your hand hit? How many of you guys did not get a high five? How many of you are like, man, how come I didn't get one? Right? Here's the thing. You see, forgiveness, when we receive it, makes us feel good. But you have to choose to go to people. You can't wait for them to come to you, because the power is in you to walk. I didn't say go play the drums. Get over here. Get over here. Go on and sit down somewhere. Yeah, get out of here. Get out of here. Hey, clap it up for them. They did a great job. Great job. Let me try to make this real simple, and I'll get out of you guys' way. You see, you have received forgiveness not for you just to hold on to it and be like, I got this thing. But you received it so that you would begin to understand that you're supposed to walk in it. You need to begin to choose on a daily basis to be able to walk up to people and say, you know what? Hey, high five. I know what you've done, but I'm good with you. I forgive you. Why? Because as long as you're willing to hold on to that forgiveness, you're not truly walking in what God has given you to have. He has given you forgiveness so that you could experience it. Do you think that God really created you so that you could walk around bitter and angry and walking around with your lip all curled up? That's not how he created. God did not create you so that you could be angry. God did not create you so that you would be angry. You don't even know. I don't have to know. Because the only person that you are hurting is yourself. I promise you, as long as you're holding on to what somebody has done, you're not penalizing them. They're not sitting around at home saying, oh, they haven't forgiven me. Oh, they haven't forgiven me. My life is so miserable. They're having a party. They're having a good time because they don't even know that they've hurt you. They've forgotten about it a long time ago. The only one that remembers it is you. So may I encourage you, let it go. Just so that you guys would figure out that he wants you to let it go. They made a movie and they sung a song, just, and it was an annoying song. You know why? Because all the words of the song was let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. And I think that God is trying to give you a message. He's repeating himself saying, let it go. Moses went to the Pharaoh and said, let my people go. I want to encourage you guys to let it go. There's a quote that I want to read to you guys by Marianne Williamson. She says, unforgiveness is like drinking poison yourself and waiting for the other person to die. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison yourself and waiting for the other person to die. Will you stop drinking poison hoping that somebody else dies? Let it go. In the same way that you have been forgiven, we are called to forgive. And if you're not willing to forgive, then are you really looking to God for your forgiveness? Now, I know. Listen, I'm not going to pretend that life hasn't been hard. I'm not going to pretend that what's happened to you didn't hurt. I'm not going to say what happened to you in your childhood doesn't matter. And I'm not going to say that people who are continuously wrongly doing you now is of no consequence. But I am going to say this. What happened when you were younger has taken enough of your life away. It's time to move forward. It's time to move forward. You have the power to move forward. So would you please? Why are you giving that person that much authority in your life at this stage of your life? It's not helping you. God wants you to be free. Forgive them. Jesus Christ on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There are some people who have hurt you in their life and they weren't even aware that they were doing it. Will you forgive in the same way he forgave? Now listen, if you're in a situation right now where somebody is continuously doing wrong to you, yes, put some boundaries. We can talk about that later on another day, but yes, have some boundaries. You don't want to, if somebody is physically harming you right now, yeah, put some boundaries up so that you're not going to be physically harmed. But at what point do you let it go so that you can begin to walk it out? You're going to be a hopping, limping Christian because you're only willing to receive? Or are you going to recognize that there is more authority when you begin to use both of these things? Let's walk it out. Amen? Now, they say the proof is in the pudding. To this day, I really have no idea what that means. I've been looking at pudding my whole life, and I'm like, where's the proof? I don't know what that, I have no idea. But because they say it, I'm giving it to you. The proof will be when you guys determine to start thinking about who you need to forgive and begin praying, Lord, first, I pray that you will forgive the person for what they have done to me. And I pray, Lord, that I will forgive them. Now, some of you are saying, I'll forgive them, but I ain't going to forget. Well, what good is that? What good is that? I'll forgive them, but I ain't going to forget. The way that you forgive is the way that you're forgiven. I'm just giving it to Pastor. I'm sorry. I might be taking too much time right now. I might be taking too much time. But I just want to say it. The way that you forgive is the way that you're forgiven. So if you're saying, hey, God, listen, I'll forgive them, but I won't forget. Then you're saying, God, listen, forgive me, but don't forget what I've done. I think Jesus says that he forgives as far as the east is from the west, to the bottomless sea. He blots it out. Isn't that how we want to be forgiven? Do we want God to be like, hey, listen, I remember what you did, and I'm angry at you for it. I mean, I forgive you, but I'm angry at you for it. I'm bitter. No, we want God to let it go. And he went to the cross. Think about this. He went to the cross so that he could let it go. He went to the cross so that he could let it go. It cost him something. It cost him pain. It cost him his life. And he said, I am a God who doesn't need to prove my godliness. I don't have to prove my godliness by showing how powerful I am. I'm going to show you my godliness by showing you how willing and vulnerable I am. Because that's what the cross demands. To forgive, he gave. So what is your forgiveness to someone else going to cost you? Your pride? Your humility? Maybe some tears? Maybe some anxiousness? Maybe, just maybe, you come out on the other side of that thing more alive than you ever have. Because God can resurrect you from that place. In the same way that he got out of that grave with all power in his hands, is the same way that when you begin to walk in that, is a way that you could be the healthiest that you've ever been. So, what will you do about it? I'm just guessing. I don't know. I haven't hung out with you guys. I haven't. You've never invited me to your house before. You never had me over for a meal before. Ain't nobody. All of you guys in here. Nobody's invited me to eat. But I'm willing to say that there's probably inside of this room right now some stuff and some forgiveness that needs to start happening. Some people that you have been holding a grudge over and you're frustrated with, that you haven't given a fair share, that you have been, that you probably would really do well to walk up to them and give them that high five and say, you know what? I'm sorry. I should have done this a long time ago. Can you forgive me for holding on to this for so long? Because I'm sorry. I should have forgiven you. And you didn't even know. But I forgive you. Now, some people might respond to that. What you mean you forgive me? I ain't never do nothing anyways. Well, listen, I'm glad you don't even remember it. Then in that case, please forgive me for holding on to something that you weren't aware of. Does this make sense? Are you guys still with me? Are you sure? I can go another half hour if you need me to. If you're not with me now, we're going to keep it going. I'm just kidding. You guys gave me a really tough topic to talk on today. Thank you. Just going to sign somebody up for this passage. You don't give that to the guest. You're supposed to give me the one about joy and peace. Yeah, hey, have peace, have joy. No, you make me come in and get in your business. You can't pay for your forgiveness. So stop making others pay for theirs. Erase the debt. Cancel it out. And let's get to living. That's where you get to that third thing. He encourages you. He invites you to reflect, to remember what he has done. You don't take communion without remembering what he has done. You don't go to a baptism without remembering what he has done. When we read the scriptures, we remember what he has done. And so we reflect on the forgiveness and what it cost him. So that when we get to that point when we're ready to forgive, we can say, oh Lord God, have mercy on me. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you because you are good, you are faithful. Lord, we pray that you will bless this group. Bless the individuals here, Lord God, that they could be reminded that you are faithful, that you are good. Lord God, that you love. And your love took us to a place of forgiveness. And I pray, Lord, that their love will take them to that same place. Lord, as you went to that cross and gave up your life so that we could be forgiven, Lord, may we be willing to consider the cost and be willing to make the same investment as we forgive others. Lord, thank you that we don't have to pay for our forgiveness, but you freely gave it to us. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. Bless this place, Lord God. Bless these individuals. Bless this congregation, Lord, that it will be a thriving place for you where there's this sense, Lord God. If it's not known for anything else, Lord God, I pray that this church is known for forgiveness. May they live it out well as they remember what you have done for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany. We invite you to worship together with us on Sundays. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.